Welcome, comedy fans, to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information at carlsoncast.com, or don't. I don't run your life. Today's episode, very special guest. It's episode number 93 with Miss Thea Vidal. Now, everybody, he's flying alone today. He doesn't have his very special guest friend, Brian, so everybody give a big round of applause in your house for Mr. Vinnie Paulino. Wherever you're listening from, I don't care.
All that sweet, sweet applause is for me today,
it's
baby.
True. It's true.
Maybe a little for you too, Rosser. Maybe a little for you too.
Woo!
What a show it's going to be. Thea Vidal is back. We're excited about that. Thea, you and I had an interesting conversation about this episode right after it aired because you had not yet come on board the Carlson Cast. And you feel like the Thea Vidal episode might be one of the best ones we ever did.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah, absolutely.
Episode number 50.
She is a fascinating person.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And she lets it all hang out
there.
Oh,
yeah.
So I've had to take a lot of time to prepare really what to talk to her about, but I've been busy celebrating, Ross. You know why?
Because it's your birthday.
No, not even close.
Anniversary.
It's our anniversary, Ross. You didn't remember?
I forgot.
No.
You didn't give me a thing.
So here's the thing. This is going to sound so cheap, but I'm going to give ourselves a little applause and then a big thank you.
Let's do it.
iTunes changed up how they do comedy. They added categories.
Okay.
So it used to just be comedy. And there's every goddamn comedian on the face of the earth has their podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what, a million?
There's probably at least a million. Yeah.
Right. A million comedy podcasts. No way of differentiating what styles, what is what. Comedy
right.
is comedy. And it hurts people because if you're not a big-time celebrity or a big-time comedian, your stuff really gets buried deep.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are luckier than most to be able to have an amazing, amazing, you know, amount of great performers come through.
Yeah.
Like guests that people dream of getting, we've had just because they're contractually obligated to do
it. Right. Well, and they, you know, and yeah, you have to get past the veneer of these white guys talking to them, you know, but
right.
these ugly, these unattractive white people talking to them.
Sure.
But
once you get past that, good stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But
that's the price
you
pay for admission.
Right. And I'm going to tell you right now about 750,000 of that million are probably ugly white guys.
Oh, yeah.
Talking.
Oh, no question. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is this, the cream rises to the top.
Sure.
And we, in our new category, Comedy Interviews, through our service on Podomatic, are number one.
Nice.
Numero
That's amazing.
Uno.
Number one.
That's amazing.
Not number
slash,
one on iTunes.
Slash comedy interviews. Slash.
We're still not even top 100 on iTunes. We're about we're at 140 on iTunes. But
which is probably good on iTunes, right?
Sure. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to thank
out
you.
Of a million.
I want to thank you for listening and downloading this episode. Because we couldn't do it without you.
We're number 140.
We're number 140. But I'm just so happy.
In
because
podcast
like,
slash celebrity interview slash ugly white guy slash Rochester.
We're the 140th best.
I'll take it.
So, I'll take it.
That's the silk hat this pig needed.
Yep. Put an apple in my mouth.
I just feel like I have to thank the audience because
yeah,
we really 100%. Appreciate you. You know, we started this show as, you know, a way of letting people know what's going on at this club at the Carlson, and the fact that people are listening to us all the time is awesome. Now, on the iTunes chart, here is the most interesting thing, and I'm going to have to pull it up on my phone to show you people the picture because I didn't cue it, but we have to say thank you, a very special thank you to some of our fans because on the iTunes chart, the Apple chart, we are number two in comedy interviewers in one country in the world. One country in the world really likes us almost as much as another show. I would like to thank our friends in Tanzania.
Thank
see
you,
right
Tanzania.
There? You can see that right there. No, you can't because it's so close.
It says it, trust
it
me.
It says Tanzania.
Yeah.
In Tanzania, we're number two.
Thank you, Tanzania.
Thank you,
Tanzania.
Yeah. I don't know what the comedy podcast scene is like in Tanzania, but I'm sure it's as competitive as anywhere
Vinny,
else.
Vinny, we need to tour there.
I'm sending Brian.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I sent him.
I'm not even getting him
he's
a
gone.
Shot. That's
hopefully
why he's not here.
Hopefully
he's
the natives kill him.
You know what?
Did you say natives kill him?
I think we
him?
Need to not yeah. insult the one country that listens to us.
Do you realize that the Serengeti is in Tanzania?
I'm not super familiar with that country.
Let me tell you something. It's a beautiful country, and it stayed out of the politics of Africa. I did some research on Tanzania.
Yeah.
They are a wonderful, wonderful country.
Yeah.
Wonderful people.
We're going on
We
tour.
Love you, Tanzania.
We love you, Tanzania.
We're going to perform for three antelopes and a tiger there.
Cam.
Cameron. For God's sakes.
Now we're 140 in Tanzania. I'm watching it happen.
Stop ruining this for us.
I'm sorry.
So big thing we got to announce. Very, very excited. Show my computer screen cam. Coming up Friday, October 11th. We're very excited to announce at Comedy at the Carlson. I will be your host. New Comic Night returns, baby.
Yeah.
Woo! Clap, fresh. Ross, damn it. New Comic Night is going to be here at the Rickles Room. So all of you who've been asking, and there's been a lot of requests for this. You come back to me, bud. There's been a lot of requests that people, you know, miss New Comic Night and want to see come back. We did our last one, I believe, in like March or February, somewhere in there. We didn't want to do too many of them. We want to keep it fun and fresh.
Yeah.
So we're coming back October 11th. Put it on your calendar. 20 open spots. Doing a drawing for the spot. Show up, be on time. We'll tell you more as we get closer. So, that being said, Ross, you're my co-host today.
Hey!
What could go wrong? We're going to be back in just a minute with Thea Vidal after these words for who's coming up this fall, summer, the end of summer, fall, and winter at Comedy at the Carlson.
Whatever.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah. Dress accordingly.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We got some big shows coming up at Comedy at the Carlson this summer, fall, and winter. We're going to keep you entertained. Starting this weekend with Thea Vidal. Two more shows tonight you come see her. And tomorrow night there are three shows with Pete Davidson. Unfortunately, they're all sold out. You're out of luck. Next weekend, Kevin Farley will be here August 22nd through the 24th. And then following that, September 5th through 7th, Ron Funches. Bunches of Funches. Harlan Williams will be here September 12th through the 14th. Marlon Wayans will be here September 19th through the 21st. Doug Stanhope, one night only, September 24th. Marcella Arguello, September 26th through the 28th. Mike Vecchione, October 10th through the 12th. I say names way better than Brian. Sashir Zamata, October 17th through the 19th. Rocky Laporte, November 1st and 2nd. Bobby Slayton, November 7th through the 9th. Gary Goldman, November 14th through the 16th. Vicky Barbalak returns November 21st and the 23rd, just in time for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving Eve, Dr. Dirty John Valby will be here November 27th. Pete Corielli will be here December 12th through the 14th. And those are our upcoming shows, almost to the end of the year. So all you have to do to get tickets is type in carlsoncomedy.com into your browser or call 585-4-COMEDY for more information. Hope to see you at a show, Rochester. Joining us in studio live is one of our all-time favorite guests, and she's performing two more shows here at Comedy at the Carlson this weekend. Come see her tonight. It's Thea Vidal.
Yay!
I think you have graduated beyond being Houston's chocolate kiss. I think you're the world's chocolate kiss now.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to perform all over the world and in London again. I'd love to go back to London and Scotland.
What did you like about London?
I love because the English can take it. Okay. They can take it. They're not sensitive like Americans are.
We are more sensitive these days, aren't we?
We've gotten past sensitive. We just fucking ridiculous. And don't talk about the president. Don't talk about Mr. Trump. Man, fuck you.
You see, he's talking about you.
It's like he ain't fucking up shit. And it's like you cause all this divisiveness, and you know what? I swear, me and Mark was talking about it. Watch, it's gonna be some alien. It's gonna be like Independence Day. The aliens are gonna come, and they gonna put an anal probe up some of y'all's ass, not mine. I'm gonna tell you why, because black folks have suffered enough shit. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now, and it's just gonna be the white man.
You think the rich white come man down and be like, you know what, you guys get a pass?
No, we're going to take you back and make you our slaves, except for the black people and the Latino people. And then the rich white people are gonna be very, very perturbed because they don't know how to do laundry. And I do, because you know what, at some point when do you realize you need to stick together? At some point blacks and Latinos have fought in every war this country has had. Women too. Gay and straight. And still we ain't equal? Really? Get the fuck out of here.
It's amazing that a lot of people see the world we live in and the society we live in so differently. Why do you think that is?
Because somebody whispered in their ear and told them they could be one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just, you want to break it down for you?
Yeah, please.
Okay, look.
By all means.
Okay, here's the spectrum. You ever see that movie Mississippi Burning?
A long time ago, yeah.
Okay. There's a part in that film where Gene Hackman is telling Willem Dafoe about Monroe's mule, the black man Monroe that had a mule.
Right.
And Gene Hackman's daddy was, his friends teased him that, hey, even a nigga got a mule. You ain't even got a mule. Monroe got a mule. And one day they were driving by Monroe's farm and it was boarded up. Because, see, they had poisoned Monroe's mule. And he looked at his daddy, and he knew deep down in his heart that his daddy had killed that mule. And his father looked at him. He was ashamed. But he said, if you're not more than a nigger, then what are you? See, that's the problem. See, poor white people, they don't know where they fit in the equation.
Mm-hmm.
But you got this wealthy white man that tell you you're part of the equation. No you're not. You never were part of the equation. He's just playing to your weakness and your fear, because I believe poor white people's biggest fear is that they will be less than a nigger. See, but they don't understand that if you're poor, no matter what color you are, you still a nigger. You get it?
Mm-hmm,
it ain't
mm-hmm.
even about color. It's about your position in the spectrum of economics. If you are poor, you're a bottom man. And if I'm poor, I'm on the bottom with you. Instead of us bonding together, he separates us. So we're at odds with each other. See, the 1% keep all this racial hate going. They keep so that we can't see what they're doing. They're raping the land, okay? They're raping wildlife. They're killing endangered species just for the fun of it. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, black people, white people, Latino people, everybody's blaming everybody for their disposition, when in reality, the blame should go to the 1%. Because to whom much is given, much is required. The wealthy, how much money do you need to spend? The mm-hmm. farmers are going to be in trouble. They're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to give them some money. But they still gonna be in trouble. So when you look at all the things people do behind your back, the 1% does behind your back, like Donald Trump, he changed the law. He canceled the law that Obama had for gun checks.
Mental illness.
For mental illness. He destroyed that behind everybody's back, except mine. And y'all saying now, we need gun laws. Well, you had a gun law.
Mm-hmm.
Donald
mm-hmm.
Trump got rid of it. While you was bitching about some other shit, he destroyed that.
Sophia, let me ask you a question.
What?
That was one of the most well thought out, well put explanations of society that I've heard from anybody.
I think you just said it all.
I think you really did. So that's the end of the show this week. Everybody, thanks for coming. Thea, I guess what I want to ask you is, where's the comedian's place in all of this?
The comedian's place is to tell the truth. The reason I don't say half the things I want to say on stage is because I know that certain people are going to get sensitive. And the fact of it is, I have to stir it up and put some sugar on it so I can feed it to you. And any comic that doesn't, I mean, our joke is to make you laugh, but I'd like to think I could make you think a little bit. Can't you think a little bit?
But isn't that what a truly, you know, a good comedian can make you laugh, but a great comedian is telling you the truth while they're doing it. I mean, that's...
I know, but see, some comics, you know, I don't do physical comedy. I sit in a chair and I talk to you. And I think that that's the best way for me to do it, because people feel safest when I'm talking to you normally. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, these are the things that are happening. They've been happening for a long time. Do you realize that we have a president that is speaking hate speech? Hate, like Hitler.
I'm pretty
hate
aware.
Speech.
Yeah.
And it's scary because what is that poem? They came for the Jews, I did nothing. They came for the blacks, I did nothing. They came for the women, I did nothing. They came for the gypsies, I did nothing. And then everything's gone. They said they came for me and there was no one. The bottom line is this. We better figure it out real quick how to stick together. We better figure it out. Because if I was another country, divide and conquer is the oldest game in the book. You can't beat divide and conquer with a stick. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Divide and conquer is the shit. And if I can keep you, if I can keep you divided, I can keep you where you're not thinking. You're worried about this one little teeny thing that don't mean shit. Mm-hmm, but if mm-hmm. I keep you, if we all banded together, that means we own your ass. And you better do what the fuck we tell you to do, or we gonna oust your ass. If we're all thinking in a unifying, it's okay to agree to disagree. What it's not okay to do is sit there and be so divisive that you can't hear another person's point of view and
what
have compassion.
Me. What bothers me, and that's a really great way of putting it up, even people who do agree tend to, if there's one point or one thing about the way somebody said something or one thing about their platform that they don't completely agree with, it immediately, everything that they have to say goes right out the window, and we don't care.
We throw the baby out with the bathwater.
We write people off immediately.
And it's sad. It is so sad. I fear for my grandchildren. I feel the bottom line for me is I don't want anybody else's child to be afraid of my child. And I don't want my child to have to be afraid of their children. Our children deserve peace. Our children deserve a safe place to play. You mean
what about us? What about us, Thea?
You deserve that. Let me tell you something. You know, motherfucker can't even go to church and pray. Motherfucker come in church and shoot up shit. You can't even go to school. Used to be you could go to school, at least it was safe, except from the bully. And then you could have a good time.
Do you know they're selling bulletproof backpacks?
Really? Yeah. Where can you get one? I'm buying my grandchildren some.
They exist.
How much are they?
I have no idea. Somebody posted
a
picture.
Ridiculous.
They were like in Walmart or something like that. Bulletproof backpacks. There was like a sign above them. I mean, that's where we're at.
Do you feel like... So your perspective is a woman of color.
Yes.
Do you feel like things... Because so for me as a white man...
Yes.
A gay white man, but a white man. I felt for a while like things were kind of getting better. It was slow. It wasn't going fast. But things were getting better, just overall, all the stuff you're talking about. Do you feel like things were getting better for a while, and then they took a turn, or do you feel like this is just the same bullshit that's
been... Okay, let me just say this. As a woman that never thought she would live to see the first black president, and whose mother lived to see the first black president, I felt like maybe there was hope. I felt like there was hope. I felt like... You know, I knew he was not going to be able to do everything because I knew he was going to have great opposition. But the fact that he carried himself in such a gracious way, in such a masculine way, Because that motherfucker fine as shit. Man, I drink his bath water. I swear to God, do you have a friend? Anyway, I'd fuck him in Baker Pie. I swear to God, I'd hit Michelle in the head with a shovel. You don't even know. Actually, I'm teasing.
She's
I do
not
think
bad herself.
She's not bad herself.
I
was like,
I could take any of us at a
I think I'm gonna tell you something. I bet she wear his ass out. Yeah. I bet she be fucking him. He be retarded when they get through. Cause he loves her so. He loves her. Mm-hmm. I felt like there could be hope. There could be maybe a new beginning.
Yeah.
And then this next thing happened. And he opened up Pandora's box. That box has been closed, but he opened it up for his sheer delight. When you make fun of handicapped people, when you tell people to beat you up, I'll get you out of jail. When you say those people, shithole country. Why can't they go back to their shithole country? Well, I can show you some shitholes right here in America. Mm-hmm. Flint, Michigan being one of them.
And you're in charge of it, so fix it.
Fuck
dude,
it. I mean, you have not. I mean, nobody can tell me what he's done to improve the lives of other people. You call the four women of color that are congresswomen the squad. I mean, what the fuck, man? Why do you always have to make a nigga out of somebody? And that's his objective. When you don't say that white nationalists are American terrorists, when you say Nazis, there were good people on both sides, something is terribly wrong with you.
I love to bring up, I meet a lot of Trump supporters, and I love to bring up how they always say that, like, the Republicans are trying to turn us into, or the Democrats are trying to turn us all into communists. They want to be dictators.
Ain't nobody
like,
trying to be no goddamn communist. Right. We having trouble being an American. What the fuck?
Right. But I always remind them, I say, well, supporters of which party were you know, marching down the street holding torches saying the Jews will not replace us? Who was doing
who,
that?
When did the Jews want to be a Gentile?
Right. Never.
Why the fuck would they give up Hanukkah? What's wrong with you? They get presents for 7 days. What the fuck, man? They knocking Christmas out the box. What's wrong with you?
Right.
I mean, I ain't met a Jew that said, I want to be a Gentile. I have not met that Jew. I ain't met a Mexican that said, I want to be white. Well, I met a couple that thought they were, but they got put in a cage. So, you know, I'm just saying, ain't nobody trying to be nobody else. Every, you know what people want to do? They want to get a decent job, get paid decent, get a nice little piece of house, have a halfway decent car, have 3 or 4 motherfucking kids, get them bitches out their house and go to college, and grow old and just have a good time. That's what the fuck the average American wants. They just want a decent school for their kids, they want to make some motherfucking money, and they want to fucking go to Disneyland. That's what the fuck people want to do. And that Harry Potter motherfucker, I don't know why the fuck they want to go. Anyway, I'm not getting it.
Right,
anyway,
right.
My, I just like, that's like the average American don't want nothing. They don't want to hate their neighbors. That's these motherfuckers that ain't got no job, no teeth, no goals, no nothing. You know, at some point, you have to step up and say, hey, don't bring that bullshit over here.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think the reason why we all hate our neighbors now is because of Facebook and social media. Because now everybody knows where everyone else stands politically. There was a reason why I think the forefathers were like, hey, secret ballot. You know?
Let's yeah, you all, know I'll what? Be- and let me tell you something. I bet you some of them was going, you know what? I'm so sick of Ben Franklin and his monkey ass. I just, if this four-eyed bitch come over here one more again, I'm going to slap the shit out of him. I hate that he's smart. I hate that he's smart. He invented the post office. God damn, that's some other shit I didn't even. Why we all?
Not waiting in
why
line.
Was Ben always got to be thinking? And where how his geeky ass get all this pussy? He make me sick. I can't stand Ben Franklin. You know, I'm sure George Washington with his wooden teeth was like, man, Martha don't want to give me no pussy. I gotta walk across the creek, go to his bitch house. Oh, shit, I fell in the water, now I got pneumonia, I'm finna die. This is, I done died behind some pussy. What the fuck, man? I'm sure Abraham Lincoln is like, you know, I want to free the slaves. I just, you know what? Can we just go to the fucking theater and watch the play? And just watch the motherfucking play? Can a nigga get a break? All I do is hear yak, 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 yak. God damn, Mary Todd, you need to shave under your arms. Jesus, you smell. I mean, I'm sure all throughout history there have been presidents. I'm sure there were Indian queens that were married to chiefs saying, I told you to kill them white people when they came here. I told you. I knew there was going to be trouble. I knew it. No, but Sister Golden Hair, you with the blue eyes of the ocean. Yeah, that's why we living in a reservation outside now, bitch. Can't farm corn. Thanks, Cochise. You know, I'm sure all throughout history, there have been people that lament. I'm sure that Martin Luther King's wife, he got on our motherfucking nerves, always in there writing and shit, talking about you got a dream and you got that and you don't never change a diaper in this bitch when you come home. You know what? You act like I'm the only motherfucker that's, you the only one doing something. You know, I'm sure everybody has their angst. But the one thing I'm definitely sure of, that America better get itself together and get itself in line, because America is raggy right now. We ain't got no infrastructure, ain't nobody. He ain't fixed a freeway, a bridge, or nothing. He promised to fix Chicago in the inner city. You know, he ain't did shit. All he's done is go other places and stir up confusion and fucking fuck with Russia. We ain't never trusted Russia. When I was a little girl, my daddy told me that, and he was in the military. You can't trust Russia. They're treacherous.
Well,
it kind of turns out. I mean, you know,
well, I mean,
they are treacherous. I mean, that sneaky motherfucker. Let me tell you something. If Hillary had been president, Vladimir Putin wouldn't be fucking with her. Because he know that bitch crazy. You know crazy when you see it.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Laughing out, like the Hillary laugh. When Hillary laughs, I get uncomfortable.
I go, that bitch finna kill something.
Right, it's just a little uncomfortable. Yeah,
but this really kills me. The motherfucker on Suicide Watch. I'm sorry, that's funny to me. I'm sorry. So you was watching a motherfucker, but you wasn't really watching him. You know what? One time, I was supposed to be babysitting my baby sister.
Uh-huh.
And you know those plastic scissors?
Uh-huh.
You know, they give you when you're in
safety scissors?
When you're in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Well, my sister had long hair, and she had a long plait. And I don't know if you know this, but my mother was a hairdresser. And black mothers that do hair, this hair ain't your hair. That's her hair.
Right.
She grew that hair. And she grew my sister's hair. And we were supposed to be watching her. Right? And she had them little scissors.
Can't do nothing with those.
You can't do nothing with those. That's what we thought. We like fucking around. And she can't do shit.
Run with them, kid.
I'd be dead. Giovanni had cut off a lop of her plait. Oh, my God. So now we all looking at each other like, oh, fuck. It's going to be on. You supposed to be watching it. You supposed to be helping me. So anyway, we's all running around like chickens with our head cut off. So what we do, we comb Giovanni's hair a different way. And her hair is naturally like a brownish, a bronze, raven color. And so we pushed it back and shit. And so so my mama come home and she say, Gigi, baby, come over here. Let mama comb your hair. My mother reached, she made a part, and she reached for her hair, and the hair was gone. And my mother said, what happened? And Gigi was about 3 or 4, and she said, I gave my baby doll some of my hair. Boy, you talking about Gigi got the ass whooping of the century. We still talk about that ass whooping. Gigi got that ass toe up.
So let me ask you this question. What would she have done if Gigi had hung herself in her cell?
We all would have died. So the point is, we all got a whooping for that shit because we're supposed to be watching her. The point is, if you're supposed to be watching a motherfucker, you're supposed to be watching a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you wasn't watching him.
Nope.
I don't want y'all to babysit my dog. No, you can't. Because y'all the fuck around let my dog hang himself. I don't know. And I just, what happened to Spot? Well, you know, nigga had issues. You know what I'm saying? This is what's so cold-blooded.
You know how he was always laying around all sad?
You know, the weird part is, we all know, we as John Q. Citizen, we know that motherfucker y'all killed him. But if I was him, I'd have had some papers with all kind of information stashed away. And it would have said, in the event of my death, and I'd have gave it to CNN. I sure would have. A bitch would have.
And you tell everybody.
And I tell everybody. Ask MSNBC, Fox News. You can't discredit a motherfucker. You got the information I gave you. Fox News, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. Oh, I have everybody. I have it on Facebook by the time I got through. Mm-hmm. I'm dead. This is what's really going on. And he didn't do that. Or maybe he did.
We'll never know. Go ahead, Ross.
Do we have time for one more
question? You can ask me any crazy shit.
So, we love you, Theo. We're going to talk
to
you all about
it. You just did it because we're all here laughing pretty good. So how hard is it to make this stuff funny? Because I know when I try to talk about current event, it starts like, I'm going to try to be funny about this. And then I just start yelling at people.
You got
to
end funny.
How do you
start serious end funny?
How hard is it to do? Because, again, you're making us laugh, so you're doing it. You know how to do it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I'm just telling you what I feel. And I think if you feel things, it just comes out. And just sometimes, you know, it's hard. Sometimes it is hard because sometimes you want to be serious and tell people, hey, this is fucked up. And then sometimes you can't, they can't take it. And that's what hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
That's what hurts your feelings when you telling them the truth and they get mad. And it's like, what did I say that was not true? What did I say that didn't sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm. It's most of the time the people get upset because they just don't like what your point is. But it's more of a reflection on them than what you said.
But if you are, okay, let me ask you, you know what happened in Nazi Germany?
I've heard some things.
I've heard, yeah.
Okay, well.
It wasn't great.
But this is the
sad
part.
I heard that
part.
You didn't want to go on vacation there in the
40s. No. Yeah. You know what? They should have had some black maids there. If it was about 10, 20 black maids in Germany when Hitler started speeching, see, they 8 million Jews wouldn't have died. And I'm going to tell you why. Because black people hear things, they see things, and they instinctively know things. See? And they said, look here, Miss Goldberg. I done heard that Mr. Hitler talking, and that white man crazy. So we better pack up our shit and go on back to Mississippi where it's safe. I just think, you got that joke. Some motherfuckers would go. But that's a very valid point. There were no black maids. Black maids know stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't hurt him. I sure did. Mr. Hitler done said a whole lot of shit that don't sound right, Ms. Goldberg. Mm-hmm. We need to get the fuck up out of here. Excuse my language, if you will. You know, I packed up your shit and get your furs on, put 7 of them on like you was gonna, hide your diamonds and shit, and let's get the fuck up out of here. Fuck all that other furniture and whatnot. We ain't gonna be able to take that with us, but we can get the fuck up out of here, I promise you, because I done found a way. Me as Miss Mary, we going. We sure live. We ain't sticking around with these motherfuckers trying to kill folk, talking about people as rats and whatnot. You better come on, Miss Goldberg. See, I mean, because we're watchful. You know what I'm saying? We're watchful.
Black people been through it.
Enough. You know, you speak too much crazy shit. We be going, see, that motherfucker's serious, you know. He's serious about that shit. And they don't, the Jews problem was they didn't take him seriously. The rest of the country, their fault is they knew it was happening and not one of them had the courage to stop it.
I heard Liam Neeson did something about it, but I don't know.
No, Liam, yeah, Schindler's List. I could have hired a few more.
He knows he could have done better.
He could have done better. But also would have been a black, he would have beat a black dude up just because he wanted to kill a black guy because a black guy raped his friend.
Oscar Schindler did?
Pros and cons with Liam Neeson. Yeah.
You know, if I was Liam Neeson, I would have never said that shit. I would have kept I'd have kept that dream to myself.
You think so?
I would have, Liam.
Can I tell you my impression on that? Tell me if I'm crazy. When he told that story, do you think he was trying to get like brownie points of like how sensitive he is and how he's come around? Like, what was his point on that? Did he think people were gonna look at him and be like, yeah, Liam, that's great,
but you didn't,
but you did great job. Like, what was he thinking?
You know what, I think that he was thinking what most Euro-American men think, the protection of the frail white woman. Because you know what? Okay. Let me tell you something. If you watch, what is it? D.W. Griffin. Is it D.W. Griffin? The Birth of a Nation.
Yeah. Oh,
watch that movie.
I've seen it.
Biggest fear.
He has screens at his house.
Really?
D.W.
Griffin. His biggest fear is that the frail white woman will be raped by the big black buck. It's just like, no, we won't be. No, these bitches is throwing the pussy at the big black buck. But to let them be at the NBA, how the fuck you think they got there? They was throwing that pussy. You know, it's just.
Well, it's like you said before. It's one of those, oh, hey, white person, you know what? You know who's coming for you? It's not the big rich guy who's stealing all your stuff. It's that black guy over there.
The black guy now. Yeah. And it's like,
divide,
you know what?
Divide and conquer again.
And divide and conquer. And so, when you look at it and you say, okay, let's see what this shit really is. You know, like some women get mad at me because they say you're not part of the Me Too movement. I am part of the Me Too movement, but some of these bitches, some of y'all are Me Toos and some of you is hoes. And you have to dissect the hoes from the Me Toos. You know what I'm saying?
That's the problem, is because like the second anybody isn't slow, there's anything that isn't credible about what they're saying or something they can't prove, people immediately jump on them and attack them still to this day.
I think that if Harvey Weinstein don't go to jail, which he probably will not, I think Bill Cosby should get out of jail. Because, first of all, he didn't do no more than Harvey did. Let me tell you something about men.
Yeah, the Harvey's girls were awake.
Yeah, that's true. But, hey, they was doing coke. They had to come down. You know
what?
Let me tell you something. I have a problem with it because it's like, I have a problem with any woman that goes to a married man's hotel room and thinks that you went there for something. You just got more than you anticipated. Okay? I'm not saying that's right. But I'm saying that when you went to Harvey Weinstein's thing, first of all, if Harvey said, this is what one girl said, Harvey went, he said, I left my wallet upstairs.
Why don't you come help me take a shower?
He comes out butt naked with a robe on. Bitch, this, did you not know? If a man said, I'm going to the restroom, bitch, you going out the front door. Don't come out here with your wrinkly nuts trying to think I'm going to suck your dick because I want a movie part. I ain't that bitch. I'll ruin your career. Well, bitch, I ain't got one. What you going to ruin? You can't ruin shit I ain't got. I feel bad for Bill because it was a bad look. He was a legendary, he was an icon.
He was.
And I think comedically, he still is an icon. We just did some bad shit.
How himself is still one of the greatest pieces of stand-up to ever been written.
And you know what's sad? It's sad because how come 35 years later, everybody's starting to talk? That only means one or two things. One, the checks stop. Y'all got money.
Mm-hmm.
One of them got $3.8 million. Why are you still fucking talking?
Mm-hmm.
Or two, you on some extra shit and somebody else paid you to do what you did. It's money involved in this some kind. It's some slingshot. 35 years later, come on.
But I also don't give Bill a pass on his behavior.
I'm not giving him a pass on his behavior. I'm saying that if one go, they all should go.
No, you're right about that. I think
all of them should go.
I think you're 100% right that, you know, we see, you know, Michael Jackson, Bill Cosby, people who did not good things,
very
bad things,
terrible things.
And then you see like Harvey Weinstein, like, oh, you know, that's we might get around to you eventually. You know, that's the
kind of different. He gave her an Oscar. It's not
so
different.
So what? Because we've screwed up a lot and haven't pursued justice in other ways, we have to like let people get away with what they've done?
No, I don't think we should. But I think if it's going to be justice, it has to be justice across the board.
Well, Thea Mark is standing in this room. Like the Grim Reaper to drag you out of here to go do the beat.
I hope I
gotta tell you, I love having you on the show.
Oh.
You're like my favorite guest. You really are.
I was saying to him
before, I think we said this on the air. This was the last time you were on was before I was on the show, and it was my favorite episode of the show. I was like, she is gold. You need to get her every week. So come back every week.
Stop.
No, we really do love her.
Move to Rochester.
Can you send me a clip of that?
I will send you the whole thing. I'll send you whatever you want, Thea.
You send it to me?
100%.
You know where to send it?
I'll find out before the weekend's up. I'll make sure I have it for you.
Please do. 100%. Because people never see me do interviews. They think I'm crazy. Or they're scared I'm going to say something.
I think you're so crazy, you're sane.
Yeah. I probably am. I've probably been the craziest bitch for the longest. That's the sanest motherfucker on earth.
It's like Catch 22.
It's like...
I think you're doing all right.
I try to do the best I can. I just love all these comics and stuff.
Oh, thank you.
I love that.
All right,
I
folks.
Still have my... Black Panther. I have it in my comic books from Golden Key.
You still have that Black Panther figure I gave
you? Yes, I do. I won't let my grandchildren touch it. I won't let them touch it.
My heart is warm and probably too big.
They wanted to touch my comic books. I said, that's how people get their ass whooped. That's how people get their ass whooped, fucking with my shit.
We'll be right back with the news with Ross. On that note, your turn to sit on the couch. We'll be right back, folks. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I want to say thanks to our great friends. How about Chef Joe over at Sapori Cafe and Catering? They're located inside of the Powers Building Atrium downtown and have the best lunch specials you're going to find in Rochester. And to top it off, they can cater your very own special event. Visit at Sapori Rochester on Instagram and find them on Facebook for more information. You could also check out our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. Jeff and the boys over there make the finest beers you're going to find this side of the Genesee River. And they also have an amazing, amazing brewery with live music just about every night of the week. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com for more information there. And we also want to say thanks to our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Always remember to drink responsibly, but they make delicious stuff. They make Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey and a traditional Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Visit ironsmokewhiskey.com or you can visit their tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport. So, thanks, sponsors. Now it's time for a show. All right, it is time for stand-up news from our sit-down news guy, Ross Johnson. Take it away, Smiley.
I'm so tired.
You had to sit in for a whole interview.
I'm exhausted. This is horrifying. I don't know how people do this. I don't know. people are just sitting listening to this, too. That's amazing.
Yeah, in Tanzania.
In Tanzania. Hey, Tanzania. Be sure to rate and review us any way you can.
Any way you need to.
Absolutely. So, so this is interesting, and I'm not quite sure entirely what to make of this first story, But Sarah Silverman's in the news. This was reported by Rolling Stone, but it was reported by a bunch of other places as well. Apparently, she was on the Bill Simmons podcast recently, and that she was she had a role all lined up for a movie that she was sort of excited about. She called it a sweet part. And she was fired from the movie at 11 p.m. the night before she was supposed to show up on set because of a still picture of her doing a sketch in blackface from 2007 that she had done for the Sarah Silverman Show.
Is this the picture of Jimmy Kimmel in blackface doing his Shaquille O'Neal thing? Or Karl Malone?
You know, I purposely didn't go to it. I just felt like...
I think I saw this.
Okay. I purposely there's didn't still look at pictures. The picture. Not because I couldn't handle it, just because it was like I felt like everybody else was...
Of times where comedians used blackface.
Yeah.
And she did a whole episode of the Sarah Silverman Show, I believe, in blackface, and it was meant to be a satire, and it was meant to show... Like, her character on that show was meant to be the stupidest person on Earth.
Right. And she regrets it, and she said, you know, she said even when she was talking to Bill Simmons, she said, I didn't fight it. She was sort of like, I get it. I did that.
That's a mature way to be.
It was not great. Yeah, well, it is mature. I mean,
some people would be like, those liberal cucks. Like, she'd go crazy.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I guess, like, on the, you know, I guess I can say also, I don't feel like she's a bad person, and that seems too bad. And also sort of respect the fact that she's like, well, I did kind of do this really stupid thing. And, you know, she said she's kind of devoted her life to making it right. Again, she didn't defend, but... She didn't defend the actions. So it's an interesting story. Like, it doesn't sound entirely fair. On the other hand, you know, again, she sort of acknowledges that she did something that was stupid. And
Well, I mean, what we've always talked about is there's consequences.
Yeah.
Whether you like them or not for stuff that you do, whether you're right or wrong, there's always consequences.
Yeah.
Well, she's handling it in a mature way, but
yeah,
whether or not. The only thing that bugs me about it, Ross, is that I kind of remember the episode, and I remember what she was doing and how it was meant to be a satire and making fun of people who would actually do something like that.
Yeah.
And someone took the still of it, and it was you literally lost the job because of a still when you were trying to make a bigger point.
Right.
So in my mind, it seems a little short-sighted on the movie company's part.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 2019, and the times are changing, and the times are changing fast, and we're learning a lot of lessons from this stuff. So,
well, that's it. Times are changing fast. You know, I do, like you said, I 100% respect her response because
you have to
fit about. I mean, and what would it get her to throw? You know, unless she's going to go on the right wing blackface. You know,
couple interviews on Fox News.
You know, what would the point be? So, you know, I respect her response. And like you said, I mean, some of this is, you know, some of this seems like overkill. On the other hand, you know, not everybody gets to be in a movie. There are things that, you know, my lack of talent keeps me from being in movies.
You were in Street Corner Kids, too.
I was in Street Corner Kids, too. That's a good point.
Directed by who?
Margaret Raphael, Sally Jesse Raphael's sister.
There it is.
God
you can
rest
find
her,
it on
God
Amazon.
Rest her soul.
We know one person who actually has a physical copy of the movie you were in and has not been able to pick you out.
That's the one sale. I mean, I was like 10.
Yeah.
I was also in mattress commercials. I have a long career. So if Hollywood, Hollywood, if you're listening, even
you
Hollywood,
were in mattress commercials?
Even Hollywood, Tanzania. I was in commercials for Jamestown Mattress. I was very popular.
Hopefully not recently.
No.
Okay.
No.
No one wants to know where you sleep. Okay.
No, they're interesting. I guess I'm getting slightly political this week, although not too bad.
At least you didn't start with anybody dying.
I know.
Apart from her career. But keep going.
Alec Baldwin roast is coming up just next month, Comedy Central announced, and they announced that they announced the lineup, Robert De Niro is going to be there, Blake Griffin, Deborah Messing, Joel McHale. Sean Hayes is going to run the thing. The interesting person that they added was Caitlyn Jenner is going to be one of the Alec Baldwin roasters. The popular, across the political spectrum, Caitlyn Jenner.
How brave? I don't know. What am I supposed to say here?
Yeah, there's nothing to say about it. I don't know.
Are they friends?
It was interesting. I don't think so. Maybe? I kind of doubt it. I feel like politically they're pretty far apart.
All I know is Alec Baldwin isn't the person I want to roast.
Who would you want to roast?
Not Alec Baldwin. He gets a little too angry.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
He seems like a weird one. I've met him. Okay. I've worked with Alec Baldwin on that project. Very nice guy, but also you could tell there's an intensity behind those eyes.
Yeah.
Like there's like,
Yeah, like he's a weird one because I like him and stuff, but he also seems like he's on a hair trigger and is probably not. He seems like one of those people who's really nice until he's not.
Like if you
and then he's really not.
And I'm sure that he'll sit there and it'll be fine. But if I was the producers, I would consider maybe having him in another room watching it on a monitor.
There you go.
A locked padded room.
Or just make sure that the chair he's sitting on is bolted down.
Yep.
Something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to be able to take it, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Bring his daughter out to roast, so that'll be great. She's just like, you old pig. You old pig. Just
I feel like
that'd
be fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he would deserve that. So you'll recall in 2018, Dave Chappelle's Netflix, his two Netflix specials, Together won the Grammy for Best Comedy Album. That was Equanimity and the Bird Revelation. Together won the Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
Well-deserved.
Equanimity also won the Emmy for Outstanding Variety Special. He just announced, Netflix just announced his newest comedy special, Sticks and Stones. They got Morgan Freeman to do a little announcement video, and that's going to be coming out August 26th, so that's right around the corner.
Wow. That's coming up quick.
Yep.
He's writing a lot.
Yeah, well, and I guess the initial Netflix deal was for three specials, and this will be number five, I think.
I was going to say, because he had two, and then those were the other two. Okay, this will be number five, yeah.
Yeah, so he's back, 100%, if he wasn't already.
And I'm proud of the work he's doing. The work he's doing is great.
Yeah.
Like, he really is right on. I love it.
Well, and he's one of those names, I think, that's going to be, you know, the people that people will talk about forever. He's one of those people that are like, oh, you know, my grandparents, you know, saw Dave Chappelle or whatever. I think he's one of those people that... he's a legend in our time.
For a long time, I had a hard time not thinking of him as the guy from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
He'll be remembered for that.
But I was a kid when I saw it, and that was like my first time ever seeing Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that guy? Like, you know, first time they're like, oh, that guy's a stand-up?
I'm always remembered him from Nutty Professor.
Oh, that's right, Nutty Professor.
Oh, he was a Nutty Professor.
You know, a lot of times I thought he was just an actor, had no idea he was a comedian until... Yeah. Let alone one of the greatest comedians the world has ever seen.
Yeah, well, even if you just know him from the Chappelle Show, which is brilliant, you don't necessarily you know him as a stand. You think of him as a sketch comedy artist on one of the best comedy shows, but he's also one of the greatest stand up. You know, he's I don't know if he's the best actor based on Robin Hood Men in Tights, but who knows? I'm sure he can do it all.
He was certainly better than what's his name, Cary Elwes or whatever his name was.
It's Cary Elwes.
Oh, he's great.
Is that how you say it?
Cary Elwes. Yeah.
Okay, great. What else you got?
He's delightful.
Okay.
From the Princess Bride.
All right.
Finally, a slightly poignant note. You know, I like to get something in a little depressing.
You're about to end on death, aren't you?
It's not death. No, it's you know, we're all.
Oh, not death yet.
We're all gonna be dead.
Hi, Billy.
Probably sooner rather than later.
For
most of us. So Billy Connolly. He's if people don't know, Sir Billy Connolly, I should say, Sir William Connolly. You know, legendary comedian, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he's famous in the United States for his comedy and for like Reservoir Dogs and Head of the Class and movies and TV and stuff, he's super, super, super famous in the UK. He's, you know, he's very well beloved. So he announced his retirement from touring just this past January. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2013. He's done with his stand-up career. I guess he's been having some trouble remembering his lines, but. As a little celebration, in October, the film of his last stand-up tour, The Sex Life of Bandages, which will see him reflecting on his career and telling jokes and doing all sorts of fun stuff. Is
I can't wait for that now.
In theaters. That's released in October in the UK. There's no U.S. release date, but that'll presumably be coming along.
It'll be on Amazon Prime in November.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I love that guy. So do I.
I hope he does okay. Good for you, Billy.
Yeah, you know, he's you know, health-wise, he's not doing great, but he's, you know, in every interview, he's like, look, man, you know, I can't do a Scottish accent, so I won't try to imitate him, but he's like, look, I've had a good thing going on. You know, this has been a good run I've had, so I'm, you know, good to celebrate and appreciate people while they're still alive, as opposed to my usual strategy, which is waiting till right after they die.
I wish I could play back your last sentence to you, just so you could hear how much how many noises you just made trying to get that out.
It's tough. It's hard work over here. It's hard work over here.
He's definitely sweating.
It's emotional.
Ross Johnson, thank you, my friend.
You got it, man.
You were great today. Thanks for sitting in. Thea Vidal, two shows left. Tomorrow night, Pete Davidson's going to be here. It's sold out. It's going to be bonkers. We'll be hanging out. Hopefully we'll say hi to Pete. But hopefully you will make it out to see Thea this weekend, and we are going to be back next weekend. Do you know who our guest is next weekend? Show Ross. Just show the
Could
look.
Could you help me, please?
Ross, do you know who our guest is going to be next weekend? Kevin Farley.
Kevin Farley. Yeah.
Kevin Farley, Chris's brother.
It was just build up. That was some build up there.
Yeah, no, you looked so startled when I asked you.
It's like, you know,
and Cam was doing such a piss poor job at the end of the show on the switch chair. I just had to let the audience see you. Thanks for tuning in this week. You are our favorite listener. You are our favorite listener.
You specifically.
Yes, you. That's right. Remember the whole rule about talking to one person? Yeah. We'll see you all next week with Kevin Farley. Later, Marks.